Well, good evening. So I promised I'd look up the kleshas, and I made a little printout for everybody. It's mostly greed, hate, and delusion. Just the whole regulars. But there are different versions of it that I thought you might find interesting. Sometimes it's called five poisons. Pride and jealousy going along with greed, hate, and delusion. So it's a powerful mix and very familiar for us. And irredeemably so. That's what we get as human beings. So our job is to work with it, acknowledge it, admit it, notice when it's happening, and work with it. We can, of course, turn away. We can wear blinders. We can bury our heads in the ocean or go to the movies. But what's most helpful is to stay put and acknowledge when something comes up. Work with it. Oh, here it goes again. So that's what this, generally speaking, is what this number 44 is relating to our kleshas, or training in the three difficulties, remembering that we've got this problem as human beings, and it's okay, but notice when it's coming. Notice it and say what we say to Mara. I see you. There you are again. And then what they call cutting off the flow. Not making a fuss about it, but just noticing it and letting it go. It's hard to do. The noticing is the hardest part. Once we notice it, then it's the hard part becomes not being hard on ourselves, not making a big issue about it, not mea culpa, I'm doing this bad, I'm such a bad person. But just say, oh, here I am, doing this silly thing again. I think I'll try not to do that next time. And carry on. Seeing Norman said, but not identifying with it. It's like, I can say this is my hand, but actually, this is a hand, and it's with me, but I don't have to make a big identification with it. And if the hand is hurting, I can say, oh, my hand is hurting, bad hand, and make a whole story about it. But the truth is that this whole system is way beyond what I call me or mine. It's an old whole system that's connected to the whole universe. And its workings are way beyond what a little me calls me. One way of working with them is to question them. What are you here for? How did you get there? How did that piece of anger just rise up in me? Something made it happen, and you can identify it often. And once you identify it, it doesn't have the same power. We only give these things power. They don't naturally have it. And that's how to interrupt the flow. You don't have to give it any kind of recognition besides saying, I see you. So this was our homework for the week. And I wonder how it was for you all to be working with the kleshas. Maybe we should do introductions around, because I think there are some people not here last week who need to know who were here last week and came back.
I'm Allie.
My name is Judy.
I'm Shilda.
Karen.
Carmen.
Nikki.
Jeff.
Paul.
Wendy.
Itayo.
The two kleshas that are the ones that I can observe most easily are attachment to eating and rushing. So those two things get me activated internally, and I eat really quickly. And so I was trying to slow down the speed that I eat at so that I could enjoy the food more. And I'm fighting against something pretty strong inside me. And I like to comfort myself by eating. Mm. Like, I'll make sure I get home so I can eat.
Yes.
And so I think I avoid sort of circumstances sometimes. I'm so attached to it.
Well, it feels so good.
Yeah.
It's one of the. It releases endorphins as soon as you start eating. All the endorphins are released in your body, and it's just as good as taking a drug. I mean, we release our own drug in our body when we eat. So it's. And it also. Is released because otherwise it would hurt our stomach, squeezing like that. So there's a wonderful drug that quiets that pain, which is why we get sleepy after we eat. So all of those things make it very tempting to use food to organize our life in a certain way. And maybe avoid something else. And it's hard. It's like smoking or any of those really powerful desires. takes a lot of work in recognizing it before it takes over. Once it takes over, it's really too late. So, being on the qui vive and being able to see it over there before it takes you down, and forgiving yourself if it does. You know, that's a big part of it too. And finding ways to be with it and to turn it into something else. You can make games about it. You can study Thich Nhat Hanh, who makes a whole interesting thing about food and eating. That is a big subject in Dharma. And because it's about the body, it's crucial. In this coming one, number 45, with the three causes, the principal causes, one is to delight in the fact that we are well fed and sheltered, and so we can't practice without it. So appreciating it is another way. The way Thay eats, what was he eating? A peach or something, and really, really tasting it and enjoying it and appreciating it slowly. He advises chewing every bite 15 times, but I could never do that. That's a lot of times. But it does give you a chance to focus and know what you're doing.
I find that now that I'm retired, I've got time to eat, so in working, I have to be fast to get back to work.
Yes.
So even when I get home, I'm still speedy.
Right.
So it's hard to say, okay, now I'm going to take a half hour for dinner. I can do that now, but it was really hard to do it before.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Especially in the United States, we're revved up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I still get that way on occasion. But
if something exciting is going on. And
right.
Yeah. Well, that is the condition of our culture, is speed. And fast and big are supposed to be better. The faster we are, the better.
Let's go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Take 5 seconds to get something, wolf it down there.
Yes, drive right through.
Drive right through. Don't even have to get in there.
No.
Get it right there at the window.
I don't even know how to explain this, but I wasn't here last time, but I've been listening. When I miss, I listen to them, and I listened on Saturday morning, and it made me remember a dream I had. And anyway, all this to say that my klesha is most prominently greed. I think right now in my life, my partner's mother has been ill for years, and my partner and her mother are just so close, and lately it always seems like it can't get worse than this, but it's really, really critical now, and this week she's really just lost her mental capacity in the last week, and it's changed everything, because my partner's felt like what she was doing for Mother, she could at least help in the, you know, connecting with her, and at this point now it's, that's not even possible. But all this to say, all my partner's energy has been going out and not with us and my cat, and, you know. So, I don't know, there's part of me that over the years I've been wanting more, and and it's just amazing how for whatever reason, and I know that we are interconnected, the way you said that, just like our body's not just my own organism, but the interconnectivity. I think that as we practice longer, we realize that more and more, perhaps. Anyway, all this to say that I had this, that I listened to this on Saturday morning, and I remembered this dream, which I was just about to kiss somebody, who I shouldn't have been kissing, and suddenly there was a face right here, which was on a person about your age, but it was the face of my teacher, Rose, and she was like, "What are you doing?" You know, kind of like a kid would say, "Hey, what are you doing?" And it just made me realize I'm trying to wake up. What are you doing? You know, and it made me realize that what I need to be doing is really just all I can do is really focus with my partner and just be really present with her right now. And but it really, I really can tell when I'm on and I'm off with that. And anyway, she's coming home tonight, and I feel very present with her, leaving her mom in this period of time again, and that's what I was working on, and it was interesting, so great to hear this talk that you gave last week, right when I was kind of woke up from this. And you were speaking a lot about the recognition, you know, just recognizing what you're doing. And that's the hardest part. So you kind of have this help from, I tend to listen to this age group more than I listen to other age groups.
That's where the wisdom lies.
It's not like top down, it's more like, what are you doing? So anyway, how old are you anyway? 14. Okay. That's a great age. That's a little younger creature in my dream. Anyway.
Well, jealousy is one of the five. And I think that's natural when there's a partnership. It's very hard not to want to claim all the attention and feel pretty bummed out if you don't get it. That's something that takes a lot of work. I know when my husband was Dutch, and Dutch are very proud of themselves, and like every small country, I think Japan is that way. I think that we're the ones, you know, we're the special ones. And he was an American. He came to America because he loved milkshakes and wide open spaces, he always said. But when his family would come to visit, all of a sudden, I was nobody. I was just, it was all focused on the family. And I had a hard time with that. It's really tough. but he's mine. No, no, not really.
Yeah, there's no competing with that. Heard from Mother, she, I'll never win there.
Yeah, there's no substitute. Well, the next one seeks right into this. And I found another book that is another commentary, a very simple one, by Dilgo Khyentse, who was a very wonderful Tibetan teacher, gone now, but a very brilliant teacher and very direct and I want to say ordinary. It has a lovely face. Should have brought the book. It's a very nice book. It's called Enlightened Courage, which is another name for this. Enlightened Courage. So that's what it takes more than anything, is courage to do these things. It's not just one little simple thing after another. It's a job. And a lot of it's a little bit scary or intimidating anyway. It's a challenge. So the three difficulties are, Chogyam says, how we relate to our kleshas, our neuroses. Difficult to relate to our kleshas. And to realize the point at which you are tricked by your emotions or your kleshas. Where we get tricked. Don't let it trick you. So that's the first one. The second one is to dispel or exorcise our emotionalism. And the third one is to cut the continuity of that emotionalism, of that emotion. So it comes directly from this one that we've just been talking about. How do we relate to our jealousy, our anger, our greed? Where do we get fooled by it? And how can we cut it? And actually, Norman says it's all just ideas. Every feeling that we have is just something that's passing through our body. It's just one more cheap idea. And if we take it seriously, it seems so real. It seems like it's a thing, and that it possesses us in some way. But the reality is that here we are, and we may have all these things passing through us, but the truth is we're just wherever we are, that's who we are. Just right there, right then, right now. So Trogyam says, since neurosis basically comes from selfishness, from placing too much importance on yourself, The antidote is that you have to cut through your ego. You have to have the determination not to follow the neurosis or continue to be attracted to it. So maybe that's a hint about where the attraction is, and to discover what it is about myself that it's making me feel. It makes me feel better in some way. It makes me feel bigger or more important, or some way that I feel I have to hold on to it. So it gives you lots of opportunities to play with it in a way. Say, what happens if I do it anyway? What happens if I don't do it? I knew somebody who was terrified of driving over a bridge, any bridge. There was something in her psyche, you could say, that was just terrified of that, all that space and just a little thing underneath to hold her up. And finally she found somebody who trained her to do it just a few feet anyway, and then do it a little bit more, and just keep doing it anyway, and meeting the fear that way. There are a lot of ways that could be helpful, a lot of different challenges that we could meet in that way. Maybe I'm angry, but I could be a little bit not angry and see how that feels. And then pursue that a little farther. What would it be like if I just weren't so angry? And taste that. And taste alternatives. And not take any of it too seriously. What's serious is that we're breathing and living, and that we're all a part of one another. So one way that one of the teachers talks about the mental afflictions is that they're the things that disrupt the equanimity of our mind. So that's another way of identifying what the problem is. If this is putting me way off balance, there's something awry. Something needs a little attention and care. Tender care. Afflictions occur when mind is in conceptual mode, grasping. So cut the flow by switching to non-conceptual flow. Just let go. Or as Uchiyama Roshi said, open the hand of thought. Let the thought go. Just so are there questions? It's homework. Paul?
I have an announcement.
Good.
Samya brought the brownies. Samya brought the brownies.
Oh.
She opened, but she couldn't stir.
Oh, gosh, and brought brownies, too. Thank you.
They're a little crumbly, so be careful how you eat them.
Ooh.
She raises the bar for openers.
Yeah, she does.
She makes it tough for the rest of us.
takes the sweeper and the vacuum cleaner and she does the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, thank you for helping with Paul.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much. Well, it's just about 8 o'clock.
So well, I have another announcement.
Oh, sorry.
Our message. Jeffrey emailed me today and thanked us for the card. His recovery is going slower than he thought, but he looks forward to returning.
Good, thank you. We need to know that.
What happened to you? I wasn't.
We don't know.
Okay.
Some kind of
surgery.
Should we save him around?
No.
We should take him a whole bucket full of brownies.
Yeah.
His wife makes really good cookies, so I don't think we're going to worry.
That's
about
true. She's a great cook. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.